Hey everyone, oh hi, if this is your first time here, thanks for tuning in, and if you're a returning listener, welcome back to Kishi's World. I trust you guys listening to me is doing very well. Happy new month. Anyways, I'm recording this at the beginning of a month. I don't know when it's going to drop, but yeah, I'm recording this at the beginning of a new month, and yeah, happy new month. I believe 2024 has been really exciting. Like, so much has even happened, you know, in the last 1 month. And if you listen to my last episode in 2023, I said something about having very exciting content for you guys this year. So yeah, the year has come and I'm really excited. As you can tell from the title of the episode already, I have a guest on the podcast and we're going to be having a very exciting conversation about adulthood. We're going to be talking about adulthood, navigating the adventure of adulthood. I think it's an adventure personally. And so today on my podcast, I have Amarachi Anuze Obi, is a lawyer and is very much interested in technology and data analytics. Amarachi, do you want to say hi?
Hi, everyone.
Thanks for, you know, coming on my podcast. Guys, this has been a long time coming. You must listen to this podcast. If you know, don't worry. Let me rest my case.
If you know, you know. Yes.
If you know, you know. But yeah, thanks for coming, Amarachi. How are you doing today?
Honestly, I'm doing really well.
Okay.
The previous days and weeks of 2024 have been testing my patience and my capacity to multitask. But as of now, I think I'm in a way better place. And that's because, well, some office work has been done, and then I can probably sleep well after 2 or 3 weeks of meetings and minutes and all of that corporate stuff.
All right. I'm glad to hear that you're good generally. Thanks for coming in. I really appreciate it. So guys, a quick background. Let me tell you how I know Amarachi. I met Amarachi back in school. So when I say school, I'm talking about university. It was my senior. Guys, he's a big man. If you're hearing this, when you see him, feel him. He's a very big man. I met him back in school. But let me just tell you why myself and Amarachi got along. I just think that I just like his personality generally. Is a bubbly person. I was telling him, you know, a few minutes ago before we started recording, that I think he has a mind of his own. And you know, in this world that we are today, you find people that are very double minded. Not so many people know what they want out of life. And I think that's something really unique about Amarachi. And guys, without further ado, let's get right into it. We're talking about adulthood and you know, navigating, you know, the adventure. Like, it's more than a journey. It's really an adventure, because think about it. You don't even know what is to come. For a journey, you can plan for a journey. Yeah. But an adventure is very thrilling. It can be bumpy. It can be, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a lot that comes with it. So let me ask you, Amarachi, what's that moment that made you feel like, yes, I think I'm an adult now? What was that moment? Where was that moment for you? What happened that made you realize that?
Well, come to a place where, like, attaining a certain level of independence. And this is regards to even, you know, while in school, you expect a certain amount of contribution from parents.
Yeah.
Now, once maybe you graduate, NYC is done, or even done in NYC, you are, they, especially for the guys, especially for male kids, parents will take like 4 steps back. But when it comes to women, they will still be around the circle. So mine was very, very, was very abrupt, because by the way, I was sent to Calabar.
Oh, wow.
So I wasn't where I was going to have family. And I would go back to Lagos, but you get. But
did you just camp?
I went to camp. I was in Obu, bro.
Let me tell you what, Maxine, because they're about to post me now, and I'm a little nervous as to where they're going to post me. I want to work it, but then, long story.
No, but I think you should go wherever they send you to. It will build a certain level of capacity. So now I'm getting to the point where where I realized I was an adult. So I got back. My dad is a lawyer. I'm a lawyer, yes. My dad's a lawyer. I'd never returned home. My dad practices in Abuja. Apparently even has
you know, rather it will shock you that he has a partnership firm in Lagos. Nice. There's one in Lagos, one in Kaduna, one in Abuja. I didn't go.
You're forming independent.
Not really, but I needed you to respect me.
Oh.
So it's not really. So knowing that all I have is myself, God definitely, but myself and what I bring to the table, you know, in terms of what my experience is, what my innovation is, my creativity. I had to do something. Now, so NYC game, and my parents are like, especially my father. You know, he didn't even ask me about anything. Bro, get out. I was like, bro, boy, bye. That kind of behavior. But my mom was still, oh, my son.
Oh, yeah.
Until my dad. My dad also then did his own gymnastics of, I don't think you should ask anybody for anything. Duty is your man. And it was that point. So then come to a place where you now have to move out. You know, you get to a place where you are at home and you're not satisfied being at home. You want to also have your space, all of that. Then you see, those are how adults think, not kids anymore. Where you just want to have everything or be on a smooth ride. You want to test the waters. You want to know how you will survive if you're alone. You know, all of those kind of things. And then gradually, I mean, the one point for me was moving out on one part, buy my car myself. The other part.
So let me ask, so that people are not, nobody's thinking, oh, I know that there's like, so I'm moving to this aspect because I think it's very important. So yeah, I want to believe that from all you've said, there was a little privilege, right, for you. Was there any
privilege, define privilege here?
So you know how people think, oh, this person has it sorted out, everything going on fine. So there's someone that might be listening and think, oh, this person has everything going on. I don't want you to, so I want you to break it down to whoever might be listening, that, you know, it wasn't that smooth. Like, was it, what was the journey like, really? Because you're saying you moved out, you bought your own car. Was it that easy? Like, did it just happen, you know? Do you get my point?
Yes, I get your point. Yes. But was it easy? The answer is no. I mean, man was flying, boss.
I want you to say that part, because you know how people just think, oh, I'm meant to leave school and it's meant to be A from B to C.
Oh, no, it never works that way. It could work that way.
It could, yes.
Now, it depends on where the chips fall for you. There's a part of self-discovery. There's a part of knowing yourself. Knowing what you're... Knowing and not doing past yourself. So, I'll use myself as an example. So, I'm an extrovert, but I'm also very introverted. So, I also like my space and my space to think. And now, did things work out as fast as I wanted them to? No. So let me give you a typical example. So I graduated in 2018, went to law school 2019, graduated in November 2019, got my first job in August 4 days after I finished writing my law school paper. December came, went for Christmas, came back. January I had to get the second job because bills were not bailing. So I got a second job. And so now I'm running two jobs and NYC. So I was also the president of my NYC group. And so I had these three things running simultaneously. Now, and from one thing to another. So I was just literally just testing the waters. There was never a point where I'm like, I can't do this. I cannot not do this. I definitely didn't steal. But you see, I had to learn how to budget. I had to learn how to ask for help. I mean, maybe not financial every time, but if I knew somebody who could get job done better than I would reach out for help. So I wasn't just being I tried as much as possible to not be proud about anything, to bring to descend to whatever level, even down to even asking kids to guide me as well on certain things I needed to understand. And that was it. So one thing that is necessary to note at a time like this is the dream we had as kids were, when I let me use myself. Primary school, I'm like, ah, I'll be an engineer, I'll be this, I'll be that. So I have timeline. So I'm in JS1, when I get to SS1, SS3, right, why go and study with school. Once I finish, I graduate from school, get a job, 2 years after, get married, then probably buy mansions, open businesses, yada, yada, yada. Beautiful dreams, beautiful thoughts. That speaks to you being, your mind being creative. Beautiful. But there's a part that's reserved for work. Resilient work and then faith. There's nothing that beats faith for me.
So let me say, you know how you said we have dreams growing up? I feel like everyone can probably relate to this. You know, you have, even if you don't have like a mapped out plan, you have like a dream. You know, people usually have dreams, and you know, the goal essentially is for them to be successful, all of these dreams. So I want to talk about success a bit, right? Success means different things to different people.
True.
Right. So in your view, what does success look like in adulthood? I want you to, from your experience so far, and guys, let me say this. I think Amarachi, you know, has a very you've had like a wide range of experiences so far. I like to believe so. Yes.
Well, yes.
I like to believe so. So yes. Yeah, so in your own view, what does success look like in adulthood? And how is that? So you know how you said when you were younger, you had a plan. How has that definition evolved over time? So what has changed? How has your perspective changed? What has changed for you really?
Okay. So I'll take this in small molecular pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's success to me? Well, I think for me, success is being happy and fulfilled in the things I'm doing.
Oh yes, I was going to say fulfillment, but yeah,
happy and fulfilled in things I'm doing. So at a certain point, you would realize that if the money is not coming as you think it's going to come, what's going to keep you there? Good. So that's one part. So if you're successful, you're clearly seeing it. When you look back, there's a track record of where you've come from and where you're coming from and where you are now.
Right now.
And then you have an idea as to what you want to be. So there's a map to some degree as from where you are, from where you were to where you are, where you're going to. Now, success evolves over time. So I'll give an example. So I'll use myself as an example. So my first salary was 50K. And it was 50K.
You guys, you hear that? 50K.
So that dream of looking for 500K.
They are looking for 1 million stats, NYC. You want to, you have 50K. I'm not saying do him, let me put this out there. I'm very ambitious.
Yeah.
I love money.
Yeah.
If you didn't know that, please know this today. But, you know, I just had to pause him there so that you hear that. You know, and I think I'm actually love the soft life too. I'm never told you guys to be lame.
Hey, God. Soft life.
I really love the soft life.
I love the breaded life, please. Oh, no.
But yeah, I just had to, you know, make you guys hear that. So yeah, you can go on.
Now, my first salary was 50K, and a lot of people have thought I was mad to have taken that job. But you see, that allowed me to come to a place where I had to sit down and talk to people who are way older than me, or work in teams with people way older than me. And by the time I see how they were managing their lives, you realize that 50K I'm collecting, maybe the next person is taking 100K. He's married. And has maybe a kid. So, and he's getting it, he's putting it together. He looks put together. And so when you have these interactions, it opens your mind to understanding that all things are not, it's not a bed of roses.
Yes.
You have to make sacrifices for the things you want. Now, so success here would then seem to be a calculated decision that you're going to make as to what is priority to you. So for me, I thought it necessary that first I wanted to be happy with the little things of life. So little things of life here for me would be having a roof over my head, being able to walk on the street and buy Suya 1K and just reward myself for being able to finish a contract review or something, rather than just waiting for the time where I make the big box before I celebrate. So I'm celebrating per time. And you see, over time, I realized that I always yearn for the next task or challenge. And So success has been rewarding myself gradually and trusting that I can be better and I will be better.
Mm.
And yeah, I think that's just
that's really profound, honestly. No, let me tell you why it is.
Yes.
So let me tell you guys, listen. If there's anything that I picked up from what you said, it's more like success for him evolved from external achievements to internal contentment, right? So I think for many of us, we need to get to a point where we're just really contented with the little things of life. I was reading a post by one of my friends, a Twitter. I still need to go back and re-digest that thing. It was so deep. It's by Faith Bamishi. I'm going to put the link maybe in the description of this. Very profound. It was saying how you have evolved over time and what success and peace really means to him. And I feel like many of us, especially for my generation, we don't live in the moment. So we're always looking forward to the next thing.
It's a generation that you just mentioned. Are we not in the same generation?
Wait, what generation are you in?
I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, I'm sure you're a millennial. You're not Gen Z. Please leave us alone. We don't want you in our generation.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding. But I just said that to say that we need to really take life easy. I feel like that's one thing I'm learning to do. I was with my friend yesterday. She's in the UK and we're just talking about life generally and everything. And I said, oh, I've come to a place where I'm just really at peace. She was like, no, don't grieve for anybody. I was like, yeah, no grief for anybody, but I'm just at a place where I'm just happy with whatever it is right now. And like you said, trusting that everything will fall in place eventually. So I think that's really profound. Thank you, Amarachi. So
you're welcome.
My next question is, so you've given us a short overview of what adulting has been like for you. And should be told, like I said earlier, it's not a smooth sailing.
Yeah.
Right? So do you have any experience, like a specific challenge that you have faced as an adult? You're faced as an adult, and how has that, what lesson did you learn? What lesson did that experience teach you? So it could be anything at all, right? Maybe one major challenge in it, trying to navigate a career, maybe trying to adapt to a new environment. I saw this tweet on Twitter one time, and then the person's like an maybe HR personnel, and she was saying how she doesn't like to employ Gen Zs and everything because of the wahala and how they are very unique set of people, should be told. I have different kind of friends, and I say this with a lot of facts, right?
Is this HR person a celebrity's wife?
I don't even know.
I read something.
Was saying how she doesn't like to employ Gen Zs and everything. So I'm asking, so I said that to say this. Maybe you tried adapting to an environment or embracing a change, because adulthood actually is more like constantly embracing changes.
Oh yes.
So it's like you're done with school. You don't stay there for too long. The reality sets in that you need to get a job. You get a job, you know, the reality sets in that you need to improve, deliver, you know. Yeah. You have deliverables, you have to make an impression.
Okay.
And it goes on and on and on.
Okay.
So do you have like any story, like any challenge or phase of what you learn from it?
Well, I'm about to not take it from the career perspective, I think I'm going to take it from marriage. So.
Oh yeah, guys, by the way, I'm actually married.
Now, so I've at the point where I got married at 26. So we have a clear idea, so timeline of life.
Yes.
I got there at 24.
Guys.
I had served 25. So at 25, I was serving.
Wow.
And so I'm getting my, literally a year after service.
That was bold.
Yeah, that was mad. And for the few people who I actually got, who I shared my intentions with, because I made a conscious effort not to share too much. I barely shared with people. I said, you're my inner circle. And I didn't have anybody to guide me through within my age bracket. And it was almost a road I was going to have to walk alone. I mean, gracefully, my parents supported, very weirdly, but they supported. They just, I think the fact that I was making certain moves by myself. So at 25, I bought my first car. My dad didn't know until 8 months after. So when he found out that, when I told him that I won't get married, and he's like, okay, bring her to see me. That's what he said. That's all he said to me. He didn't ask me why. He said, bring her to come and see me.
Did he ask you how much you have in your account?
No. My father believes that kidding. A man should marry at his most foolish moment. And
what does that mean? Do you want to provide some context?
Yes. So now, a man should marry when he's most scattered. Because at that point, the wife understands, or the lady he's going to marry knows exactly what he is. Except he's pretending. And then she knows where she's going to walk from. So men in general don't like to make decisions. Women are easier. You guys make decisions faster. But men would maybe do a route to the answer. So we men do not usually plan. Women plan. Men are not taught to be domestic. Okay, maybe. More recently.
Yeah, things are changing. Yeah,
they're changing. Yeah. But in women, so I mean, you would look at even the stories the cartoons we watched. There was Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty. Most of them were domesticated. Men were not. We play football outside. So good. So now when it comes to a place where you have to now survive, all your survival skills are gone because you can't cook, you can't. So now you need to depend on somebody. Good. So now let me, I've taken a different path, but let me return back to marriage. So I was walking through a place where I didn't have too many people to speak to over me, but I had a few. Now, a few of the people, one is my boss. Shout out to Mr. Chidiania, if you see him. I love you to I love you to shreds. Now I told him, he calls me to his office one day and says, go ahead, I'll support you. And I remember he came through twice. He came through in terms of he would call and just check in. Hey, Marachi, how's it going? Okay, if you're bothered, call me. Every single time I was scared, I would call him. But another person was my father. So now these are the older generations, but I'm speaking about my straight line, my mates.
Horizontal.
And very few people thought I was mad. A lot of people thought I was out of my mind. Somebody said to me, when I proposed, I cried that day because the backlash, you imagine that people should be happy, yes? The backlash was mad. Maybe that person will just finish school.
What are you looking for?
Marry. That's the jazz. Are you sure that his parents did not pressure him? Is she pregnant? It kept going. I mean, maybe a few weeks after proposal, I think I was literally trying to get my health in order. At the day I was going to propose, a very close friend of mine, shortly before I took the knee, burst into tears. She cried. Like, if I ever had built up ginger, it's scattered there. And this was literally the door of who I was going to propose. And literally, I just said, God, man, it'd be like, not just me and you. Everybody be okay.
Yeah.
But now, looking back in retrospect, I should have got to mine earlier. Because first, it has taught me to make tough decisions fast. It's taught me to be accountable, to say what I mean what I say, to love recklessly, to sacrifice, you know, to trust the process.
Wow.
So I probably was the youngest person to get married in my house. My mom got married at 24, but I'm talking about the guys, usually 30, 31, 32. Yeah. My dad got married at 30. I got married at 26. Look at the gap. Another person that gingered me was my father-in-law. He got married at 25. So I was 26. So like, what are you shaking for? If I did not die, you will not die. And those are the kind of things that gingered me. But you see, across border, among ourselves, there's a problem of being able to speak to certain people and to receive encouragement from them. Because everybody's looking at it from their shoes. So when you say you want to do something, rather than provide support an encouragement. You may not understand the reason why, but you support. Support blindly. Do you get? And be there to to do damage control if you ever get to that point. But in some cases, the person will definitely come back to you to speak, to say, oh, to give a progress report. But if you shut them down, you may never know how much of damage you have caused, because you thought they were just mad, or they didn't have clear direction as to what they were doing in life. You know, those kind of things.
Well, I think so. Let me like digress a little. Like, from all that you've said, I think one thing that anyone that's listening can learn is the importance of community.
Yo,
it's really important, especially in navigating adulthood. You know, just before we started recording, myself, we're talking about how a person is alone and how the devil can just really mess with a person's mind.
You don't want to be alone.
Community is very important. From what Amrache said, one thing is constant, that he had one or two persons who were, like, not everybody believed in his own vision or what he thought was right for him. But he had one or two persons who really believed. So guys, never be alone. Like, have that one or two persons you can always, you know, draw strength from and just draw energy from, because navigating adulthood, you need it. You need a community. You need one or two friends. You cannot do life. Nobody's self-made. You saw him shouting out to somebody. Like, nobody's self-made. Drop that nonsense gutter idea. Drop it in the trash. Nobody's so. You need community. It's really important. And that's going to lead me to my next question.
Yeah.
Relationships. So, and this one I can relate to it. No, it's not that kind of relationship.
No. Even if it's that kind, you will hear it. We're already here now. We hear it. We're already on the burner.
Okay. So relationships. So balancing relationships, actually. Let me balance
Okay.
So, maintaining relationship becomes more like a dance in adulthood. And I say this first-hand experience.
Your roller bleeding.
So let me say this. I think that I'm a very... I'm not an extrovert, but I get along well with people. Like, I meet you and have a good conversation with you, and you think, oh my God, she's my friend. Nah, I'm not. Wait, guys, don't. I'm not.
I have a different opinion about you, but continue.
Oh, okay. I like to hear that. But yeah, I would have a conversation with you, and maybe even if I decide to be your friend, I just realized that with time, I've just found it really hard to keep up. Because there's so much happening, right?
Yeah.
You know, you can't trying to balance personal connections, work commitment. You're trying to take care of your own self, your own mental health and everything.
Yeah.
Or say you even have, let's even say relationship. Let's say you're even in a boyfriend and girlfriend relationship, right?
Yeah.
What would you say, how do you strike a balance between all of this? Because at the end of the day, it is integral. Like, it's very important. So you cannot... Like I said, nobody's self-made, right?
Yes, true.
So how do you balance it? How have you balanced it? What has worked for you, right? So yeah, I'm interested. I'm curious.
So now for me, while I was in university, I had friends everywhere. I think everybody was my... I think I knew people by name. Yes, I'm
very popular.
I knew people by their names and their faces from 500 down to 100 level. I had friends in the kitchen. I had friends everywhere, even security. God. And I think it was just a survival skill. I think it was a survival skill. It's a survival skill. Being approachable is a survival skill. So my opinion about you, let me just get out of the way, is that your face is not strong. You don't have that face that repels people from you. So you have some amount of chill on your face. You may not have a smile on your face, but the face is, at least you can, someone can walk up to talk to you.
That's a plus for me.
Yeah, and when people engage in a conversation, they know you have brain. They know you have brain on one part. You have an opinion. You have an idea. So what you have an idea. There's never a point where I speak to you and then, even if you do not know the subject matter in totality, you have an idea. The idea is all that counts. Mm-hmm. It tells the person that this person is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, now that's an aside. Now, to your question, balancing friendships, honestly, so I'll go back to where I said from. I had a lot of friends. But you see, not everybody shares your vision of friendship.
Mm.
or what your conviction on friendship, not conviction on friendship. Yeah. Now, friendship on the general basis, every relation on the general basis, one of the characteristics is sacrifice. Sacrifice and selflessness. So sacrifice here would mean that even when it's not convenient, you would pay the price. You pay it forward. Now, friendships are not convenient. So I'll give an example. So you may have to drive, maybe like me, drive from the mainland or from the island, vice versa, to be able to see a friend. Or a friend has an event, has some celebration, you have to fly. So you maintain logistics of flying, all of those things. There's a huge cost to friendship. But you see, by the time you look, if you wait, that the money is not enough to quantify the friendship. Did you get? Now, Ite and I have agreed that nobody is an island of their own. So first things first, so you have to have friends. But you must also be a person who is able to have firm standards as to what you really want from life, and look for people with who share the same vision with you. It's not everybody who will fall into that demography. Yeah. So at the very beginning, you would meet a lot of people, but you see, as time progresses, the wheat is separated from the chaff, if I do say so. You will see certain things that you didn't notice initially because the euphoria of just meeting the person. And when everything settles, you then realize, we agree here, we do not agree here. And there's also a part of being responsible to saying, to letting go of certain friendships that do not build. I know you will say, you're judging people. No, I'm not talking about judgment here. I'm just saying, I'll give you an example. So if I'm asthmatic and I have a friend who smokes like a chimney, does that benefit me really? I'm literally trying to kill myself. So I'm just saying, by the time you look at across board, there'll be 1, 2, 3 friends who share some ideas, because there's never a person, even twins, do not share the same ideologies at the same time. They may align at certain points based on interaction, if you fight here and there, and they build a certain level of knowledge and culture with and for each other.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Now, I just steal a quote from my dad usually says, fight make friends. Fights make friends.
Okay.
Because at every time where you fight with a person, whatever the issue is, both of you get an understanding of what your stance is on that matter.
Oh, yes.
With each other. And it wouldn't repeat itself. So even when it's springing the next time, the other person already knows. So it will just keeps go under aligning. The bridge. Yeah. Yes, and it keeps going.
Yes.
And over time, you're able to predict how a person will react.
Yeah.
Why? Because you spend time in friendship. Do you understand? Now, how do you balance friendship? As I said before, you have to make out time. The things that are important to you, make out time. If you make out time to chat or catch a movie, catch a drink, watch football, you got time for your friends. If they are important to you, if they're not important to you, then it's fine. Good. So now you will put your money where your mouth is. Because at a certain point, you would see it wouldn't be convenient to call a person. I go to my tight friends in the UK. One is working, one is doing a PhD. And these are two people who do not have your time, who may not have your time because they're also trying to deal with life.
Yes.
But you see, one thing is that I just call them. Even there's sometimes I have to call them. We are up at night because I work best at night. So I have slept or I work best in the morning. So it depends. It depends on what I'm working on. If I'm doing a contract, I do it at night. If I'm doing some filings, I do it at night, because then the traffic, especially when it's virtual. But one thing is making out time and understanding that people have lives, you know? The way you're dealing with life is the way other people are dealing with it. Some people are dealing with it even way worse than you
even
are.
Even worse, yes.
Do you understand? The least you can do is just be kind. So being kind is something that is needed in every friendship, every relationship. I understand that people will do things to trigger you, but kindness will allow you to look away. At a certain point, you'll be in a place where you have to make a tough decision about things, and you may not always agree with friends. Do you get? But you must be able to separate fear, sentiment from genuine concern. These are three different things, but they can almost look the same way. Genuine concern is that the person is scared genuinely, but there's a part that has to do with you walking alone. So although they are scared, they encourage you forward. And so how do I balance my friendships? Honestly, I just call or shoot a message. Don't procrastinate. If they cross your mind, message them. In some cases, I've messaged people and they are literally in a tough place. And that message just brings in some ray of life, some of light, I mean. And we talk, and friendship doesn't have to always do work. So you can have work buddies. They're not friends. I used to have an issue with separating this between acquaintances and friendships. And I got burnt very well. So now it's easier to read between the lines. Some people are just good for work. Some people are good for other things. Draw the line, set boundaries. So there are a lot of is multifaceted.
The topic of balance is very wide. Honestly, like you can actually be an entire episode, because it's even the main, it's the crux of adulthood, balance.
Yes.
You know, balancing everything, personal commitment, friendships, work. You know. Self-balancing. And two things that I just picked up from what you said. Number one, sacrifice. It goes to the root of everything eventually. Like, it goes to the root of balance. You need to sacrifice.
Yes.
And number two, quality time. So, find quality time for the people that you love.
Yeah.
You know, and just ensure that you show up, you know, show up. Just do your own bit. Like, nobody's expecting so much from you. So, I have a friend where, you know, setting goals for the year. And she said, relationships as segments. And, you know, like, I know that is important, but it didn't just occur to me. So, that day where we were talking and catching up and praying and everything, she said, you know what, let's set goals for relationship. So, this is an idea for anybody. Like, if you're navigating, you know, adulthood, you can actually set goals around them. So I had my vision board, vision 2024, and there's a segment that has relationships. So what I want to do, and I just wrote it there. Call a friend every Saturday. Like, it's something as simple as that, right? You know, you have acquaintances, you have friends. Obviously, you should know how to differentiate that. Like you said, you gave an example of work buddies and not knowing how to define the line at some point. So know that, of course, and know what you want to invest in it, and you know it will turn out well. So we're getting to the climax, or towards the end of this podcast, and I just have like two other questions to ask, and then we'll call it a wrap. Maybe I should infuse both. So the first thing is about, you know, staying young. Or look, let me speak about define societal expectations. So you know how society often comes with its own set of expectations. People expect you to do this at certain times. Well, I think you've kind of spoken about it, you know, when you're speaking about the marriage thing. But even it's even worse these days with social media, the rave of social media, and how people just think at a certain level that means you have done this. So in the last few years, have you defied these expectations, right? And how did it impact your sense of self? So what did that do for you, you know, on the long run?
Well, for me, I'm one person who has come from a place of not having friends, and not having friends. So I've gone through the journey of being able to love myself. So whether or not I have friends, I'll be kind to myself. All these things I've said, I will do them to myself.
Do them to yourself.
So how have I just look at what I really like, and I just do it.
You
say, irrespective of how small it is, it may be insignificant to other people, but if it means something to me, I'll do it. Do you get? And
you know what? I want you to tie this answer with, you know, how you've also stayed young at heart. Because you see this part, you know, staying young is, I think it's very important. me personally, I have a lot of interests, like wide interests. So I love music.
Do you know? That's true. I heard you sing, so.
I love music. I used to play the violin. I've actually picked it up again.
Oh, great.
And yeah. So like, I just realized that also staying young at heart and doing certain hobbies, indulging in certain creative pursuits,
yes,
also help.
Yes.
So I want that to like, I want you to bring that into like.
Okay. So I will use a very typical example. So first, I think I'm a child at heart. You must keep it. Yes. You're not old though. You're not that old. I don't know why people are always trying to look old. Yes. Do you know who I am? Please, yeah. I'm not. So ensure that you remain a kid. So I still, I'll give you an example. I love cars. So I'm still one person who still collects toy cars. I want a remote controlled car. I want to have a drone. Those are things that kids want. I'm not talking about which let me look at something that people have. Everybody says they want the kind of gadgets. Even kids, I mean, okay, I want to use gadget because I'm still a gadget freak. But you see, at every point, I just look at things that running, playing with sand. Sculpture will be beautiful.
If you don't play with sand, when you're growing
up. Did you ever eat sand?
No, I don't eat sand.
Okay. No. I mean, even whether consciously or unconsciously, I mean, you would play and then just dip your hand in your mouth and you have sand. But yeah, keep, sustain and finance your inner child. Keep it. Guard it with your life.
And finance.
Because even when you are, I'll give an example. A lot of people do not like this. When things are tense, I laugh.
When things are what?
Tense. I laugh. And so you may be arguing, you may be fighting, you may be arguing and I will be smiling. So what I do now, I cover my mouth, but I'm smiling. Why? Because in my head, I'm seeing one cartoon playing back in my head. Or something. You know, I'm making efforts to distress. Kids, you beat them now, they have gotten over it. It's adults that keep things in mind. Do you get? So play around, play, make friends. If you take friendships as a child, it's very easy.
It's easy.
You know, you come with not calling me. I remember I called you. Yeah, I don't tie to my chest. You get?
Tie to your chest.
And I give you. There's no expectation that if you don't give me, I'll show you something. No. It's never that serious. Life is not. One thing for me, my inner kid is the fact that life is never that serious. How can it be that serious? It's never that serious. So you mentioned about playing violin. I want to actually do some of my works. I want to play with engines. So I intend to go and off record, off being a lawyer, I go to the mechanic workshop to help them work on car engines.
Oh, really?
Yes, for fun. They don't pay me, but they are collecting my strength and dirty my clothes.
Are you sure you should not have gone to science class?
I actually was in science.
Oh, what happened?
I was scared.
Oh.
Yeah. So now.
Interesting.
If anybody who went to my school ever hears this, so they tell us that a part of science was going to repeat. And once I was not in that court, I said, never in my life. I think God has primary and secondary plans. So my primary, I should have done engineering because I've always loved cars. As a kid, I made a boat with, and then I powered it with a motorcycle battery, and the propellers, or rather the engine for propeller was that of a fridge. You get? So those kind of things, I've loved them, but you see, this law is too restrictive. It's too my lord, may I? There are too many rules to play with. Rules to keep up with. But life is about playing without rules, but being guided by the standpoint of your personal conviction on certain matters.
Matt, you sound like a motivational speaker now.
Maybe.
Are you sure you should not take it up as a side hustle. You guys keep sustain and finance your inner child. That's Amarachi 2024.
It takes money.
To just really live and not think about you know too much. Yeah, it does.
Yes, it does.
So yeah, that's it for today, guys. I really enjoyed this conversation. Like, it's a really broad, you know, it's a really broad topic. And, you know, on a final note, just tell us, what would be the advice you give to your younger self? So think about it this way. If you could give your younger self any advice on navigating adulthood, what would it be? And what advice or what lesson would you share with somebody who is currently in this phase of, you know, they're entering adulthood and navigating it? You know, what would you learn? Any words of wisdom, you know, and share with somebody?
Be calming down.
Very simple, guys.
See, don't do past yourself.
Don't do past yourself.
Clearly, there are too many things to do. Just pick the ones you need that are important to you. Start from there. I mean, because if you say, well, you want to do everything at the same time, you will burn out faster than the... Adulthood is not kind because everybody expects you to know what you're supposed to do. So what you do is pick the, if it's the small things you want to do first, do the small things build to the big. If it's the big ones, if you're good at doing big, handling big tasks and building, going downwards, take it that way. But not, don't do past yourself. Work hard, dream big, test the waters. There's nothing that you should not test. And then just reward yourself for the things that where you make strides, reward yourself. Where you do not excel, comfort yourself. So don't do past yourself. Farabale life, life is sweet. Just plan to live it well. That's all. So be calming down. We'll be calming down,
guys. That's his word of wisdom, and I think I greatly align with it. Just stay calm. And keep up what you're doing and everything will be fine. I really enjoyed recording with you, Amarachi. I've learned so much personally. Honestly, I even had things to say, but how will I even say it when you had all of that to say? Like, because I actually was learning, right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
I think this topic is actually very important because I know my demographic, the people that listen to me. I know the age group of those that listen to me. And that's why I think it was very important to come up with a content like this. You know, navigating responsibilities, how you learn, what is success to you, how do you navigate challenges, how do you discover yourself and know what really is important to you, how do you balance your relationships. I just really hope that you that is listening to me has learned a thing or two. I hope that, you know, the year goes even better for you.
Yeah.
And I must say thank you to Amarachi for joining.
It's such a pleasure to
be here. Oh my God. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed doing this. I'm going to leave you guys with the Bible verse. It's in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I talked like a child.
Yeah.
I talked like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. And I'm just sharing this verse because he really emphasizes the transition from childhood to adulthood. You know, and he just suggests, you know, the verse suggests that there has to be a shift in your mindset and behavior. As you grow, as you mature, you know, there needs to be that, you need to embrace the responsibilities and the perspective that comes with adulthood. And I just really pray, my sincere prayer for anyone listening is that God will help you. You look back and just really thank God for your life, you know. So yeah, it's a wrap for today. Thank you for listening. Amarachi, thank you. I'm going to bring you back again.
I was going to ask, I hope you bring me back.
I'm going to bring you back again.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, everyone. You can follow, catch up with me on Instagram. Send me an email if you enjoyed this. You can ask questions. I'll be really glad to, you know, further engage with you on this conversation, on this topic. Till the very next episode, remain in God and God bless you. Bye.
Bye.
I'm Rachel and bye now.
Bye.